Blog Talk.
The month of October, we have 5 Sundays, 5 Fridays, and 5 Saturdays. So this is Sunday the 23rd, and welcome, welcome, welcome. Let me introduce our co-host, Vernice.
Good evening, everyone.
And our switchboard operator and producer, Chabonet, is unavailable at this time, but she will be online with us here shortly. Today's show is about fathers and single fathers raising their children in society today, their challenges, their commitments, the good and the bad. What does it take right now to be a father, to raise your children today? Also, for grandparents that maybe you didn't plan to, but here you are, a grandfather, having to raise your grandchildren. So, and on the other half of the hour, on the backside, we're going to be talking about retirement. So please stay tuned for that, because that's going to be really as good, too, because we're going to talk about if you're retired, what about your finances? Is everything in order for your family? Different questions like that to come up that we will be discussing. So, as usual, you know we start the show with entertainment news, and possibly make it news of the weird, and then, of course, we always give you the football score so you know how Sunday is going. So with that, we shall begin, and we're going to start with entertainment news. And thank you again for all listening. And also, that phone number is area code 646-727-2914, calling on all fathers to call in, 646-727-2914. Okay, first story up. The prosecution called their final witness this week in the involuntary manslaughter trial of Dr. Conrad Murray for the death of Michael Jackson. Prosecutors maintain Dr. Murray gave the King of Pop the fatal dose of propofol, among many other medical mistakes. The defense says Jackson administered the extra dose to himself, and that killed him. Anesthesiologist Dr. Stephen Schaefer is an expert in the field and testified on Dr. Murray's methods and the possibility of Jackson giving himself propofol. Dr. Schaefer says inadequate equipment, failure to stay with the patient immediately after administering the drug, and inadequate record keeping of Jackson's immediate medical history are violations of the proper standard of care.
Wow.
Uh-huh. Plus, Dr. Schaefer says the propofol bottle was pierced with a spike and not a needle. Spikes are used to let doctors infuse drugs through a line, which would cast doubt on Dr. Murray's claim that he only gave Jackson a shot as opposed to a continuous supply.
Mm.
The defense is scheduled to call for testimony, police, another medical expert, and character witnesses. Dr. Murray could face up to 4 years in prison if convicted.
Mm.
Mm. So stay tuned, folks, to see how this is going to go. It's getting quite interesting.
It is. And I don't think I think he's going to get convicted.
I do, too.
Yeah.
But, you know, money talks and BS walks, and
yeah.
I'm going to say it because of this. He knew what he was doing was wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And on the assumption that Michael was probably going to pay him X amount of money
mm-hmm.
to stay as his private physician and only him,
mm-hmm.
that he let things go astray and became complacent as a doctor.
Well, yeah, money ruled the situation.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. that's what's costing, because I think a doctor, a reputable, I'm not going to say that he's not reputable, but a
mm-hmm.
doctor any other doctor wouldn't have went along with some of the things that Michael wanted to do
mm-hmm.
to his body, because he would have told him it's very dangerous.
Right.
Yep. Okay, Oscar winner Halle Berry has won a victory in court, y'all, against her baby daddy.
mm-hmm.
Berry has been battling model Gabriel Aubrey for visitation rights. They have a young daughter, Nala, and a judge recently ruled that Aubrey can only have supervised visits. According to published reports, Aubrey has been racially insensitive to Berry, and a nanny has to be around to supervise his visits. Aubrey feels that the nanny will ruin his relationship with his daughter.
Now, what's the nanny got to do with it? Oh, my goodness.
Nothing. You know,
I know.
She's supposed to be the objective. Well, she's supposed to be the objective one, but if she's the nanny, of course she's going to be closer to Halle than she would for him. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
She would be in Hallie's favor. So,
okay.
Interesting to find out.
Yeah. Well, I've got on here, we got congrats to singer Ne-Yo. He is a dad again, and he has longtime girlfriend, and his longtime girlfriend, Monietta Shaw, recently welcomed a new baby son, Mason.
Well, congratulations to you, Ne-Yo.
And Marlon Wayans is returning to TV in a new ABC comedy show. It's been 12 years since he's last seen on TV with the Wayans Brothers show.
Yeah, good to see them back.
Yeah, that would be.
Yeah.
And Arsenio Hall, you know, we talked about this a while back, is returning to TV on the reality show Celebrity Apprentice.
Get out of here.
Yeah, the show's new season kicks off this spring.
Oh, sookie.
Yeah. And we got congratulations to actress Viola Davis. She and her husband, actor Julian Temple, are the proud parents of a baby boy that they adopted this month.
Oh, God bless.
Yeah. Davis, 46, has had an amazing year. She starred in the summer blockbuster, The Help, and has been surrounded by Oscar buzz once again.
Oh, I wish her the very best.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely congratulations to them, to their new baby boy.
Yeah. Filming has just wrapped up in the Bishop T.D. Jakes movie, Woman, Thou Art Loosed, on the seventh day. Blair Underwood is starring, and the movie hits theaters next year.
I enjoyed the first one, Thou Art Loose.
Mm-hmm.
That was with Loretta Levine and Eloise. Or Eloise,
yeah.
I can't think of her name, but that was a good movie.
That was good.
Mm-hmm.
Rapper DMX says no more drugs for him. The rapper has been battling drug abuse for years. He says after bouts with drugs and jail time, no more cocaine for him. DMX recently appeared on the BET Hip Hop Awards, and he appeared clean and healthy. Excuse me. DMX says he wants to concentrate on his career and repairing his family. Well, bless your heart.
I'm telling you, we have a caller that's called in. Hello, this is Talk to Me.
This is the producer and the switchboard operator at home with the cold.
Thank you.
Hello.
Well, welcome, everybody. Yes, there she is. How you doing?
Hello, and I please apologize to everybody for the coughing and hacking you might hear. I have bronchitis and a sinus infection, but I still ride or die with my crew.
Okay. We're glad to hear. Get that weird news for us.
Oh, yeah, I got you ready.
Okay, well, thank you, Ms. Chabonet. Okay, and going on.
We've got Steve Harvey in the house. He has been given the green light for his new talk show. Harvey's talk show will be air on NBC stations, and Philadelphia has been chosen as one of the markets. His talk show
relationship
based on, and will have lots of rumors.
Humor.
Harvey is almost the host of The Family Feud, which airs 12 o'clock on NBC 10. His voice, based on
his movie.
Excuse me, it's gotten dark in here. I can't see it. It's getting dark in here. Isn't that terrible?
I got her in a cave, y'all.
You got me in a dark cave, didn't you? Okay, his movie, based on his best-selling book, Act Like a Lady, Think Like a Man, hits theaters in April and on Saturday, November 10th. He's in concert at the, what is that? Lycus Center.
Yeah.
Whatever that center is. Okay.
I'm happy for Steve Harvey. I'm glad that it sounds like he's taking Oprah's place at 3 o'clock on NBC. Or what time? No, Oprah came on at 4.
Yeah.
I think Ellen DeGeneres
is on that at that time now.
Oh, that's
yeah,
true.
She took her
You're
slot.
Right.
Yeah.
She is on at 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Toni Braxton says she.
Hello.
Is, yes. Sorry. Oh, I'm done.
Toni Braxton says she's no cougar.
She is
dating Terrence J from BET show 106 in Park. She's 43 and he's 27. Braxton is currently separated from her husband, Kerry Lewis, from Mint Condition. Congratulations to BB and CC Winans. They just got a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Oh, congrats to them.
Yes. Other gospel greats who have stars on the Hollywood Walk include Mahalia Jackson,
mm-hmm.
James Cleveland, and Andre Crouch.
Mm-hmm.
CBS has made it official. Cheryl Underwood has been added as a new co-host for the daytime show The Talk. Yay for Cheryl, because
mm-hmm.
you know they got rid of Holly.
Mm-hmm.
Underwood was brought in on a trial basis as the show underwent a makeover, letting go former co-host Holly Robinson-Pete and Leigh Remini. The beginning was rough for Underwood, who was seen as too brass and vulgar for the show. There were reports that show boss Julie Chen wanted her off. After the Pete Remini dismissed, sources say Chen, who was married to CBS boss Les Moonves, didn't want any backlash, so she's riding out the season with Underwood. Holly Robinson-Pete is staying within the CBS family, y'all. She will be a guest starring on the future episode of her new hit show, on the new hit show, Mike and Molly. Remember, she just won for Best Actress, Molly did,
mm-hmm.
for daytime, or I should say for...
Oh, did she, for comedy?
Grammy. Yeah. What's that, for Grammy?
It's
no.
Emmys.
Emmys, yeah. She won an Emmy for Best Actress.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Good for her that CBS kept her, but that says a lot about Julie Chen, this... producer.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's like she's got to go back and eat crow now. She's got to accept Cheryl Underwood whether she wants to or not.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, well, we got Mrs. Robin Thicke, a.k.a. Jump in the Broom star actress Paula Patton, has been named the new ambassador for CoverGirl Cosmetics. You go, girl.
All right.
Miami Baseball Wives star Royce
Basketball.
Reeves, excuse me. Basketball. has changed her mind. She says she is now returning for a fourth season of Basketball Wives. Reed, who has a baby by basketball star Dwight Howard, is known as the one who stars the pot on the show. Look for more of her craziness with the new season. Okay. We got George Lopez says he is returning to TV. 2 months ago, the TBS network dumped his Lopez Tonight Late show, late night show due to poor ratings. Lopez says he will be returning in a family comedy show, and he will be doing his third HBO comedy special premiering next year. Will Smith and wife Jada has the new minority owners of the 76ers, y'all.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They are the new owners.
One of them.
Well, it says... minority owners
mm-hmm.
of the 76ers. The team was recently sold in a group of investors, and the Smiths are among them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, they're one of the investors in it. But that's good, though.
Mm-hmm.
That's more and more of them. I tell you, they're getting involved.
Yeah.
The entertainers. Go ahead, girl.
We got Tyler Perry has a new DVD coming out, A Madea Christmas. The play is coming out on DVD November 22nd. Perry's new TBS TV show series, Better or for Worse, debuts November 23rd. The comedy stars Tasha Smith and Michael Jai White and is based on Perry's hit movie series, Why Did I Get Married?
Mm. Oh, Kevin, that's right. I saw the advertisements on TBS for that.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, supposed to start. It's supposed to be good.
Oh, okay. Kevin Hart's Laugh at My Pain has already grossed over $7 million at the box office. The
Damn,
comedian.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
$7 million. The comedian's movie documentary only cost $750,000 to make. Hart has also joined the cast of the ABC comedy Modern Family. Hart will be doing a guest starring role as a doctor who is also Phil's neighbor. And that's all I have, Linus.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. That's it? Oh, yeah, Kevin Hart. Okay, okay.
Mm-hmm.
What about News of the Weird, producer?
just a couple stories here. London Fashion Week usually brings forth a shock or two from cutting-edge designers, but a September creation by Rochelle Ferrari might have raised the bar. A floor-length dress made from 3,000 cow nipples designed to resemble roses. Initial disgust for the garment centered on implied animal abuse, but Ferrari deflected that issue by pointing out that the nipples had been discarded by a tannery and that her use amounted to recycling. The 32-year-old Ferrari, who has worked with mainstream entertainers such as Christina Aguilera, was kept so busy with the animal abuse angle that she was largely sparred having to explain another issue, why anyone would want to wear a dress made with cow nipples.
Wow.
That's gross.
That is gross. I agree, Vernice. That's gross.
Death is a big business in Japan, with 1.2 million people a year passing away and overtaxing the country's cemeteries. With the average wait for disposal at least several days and space running short in funeral homes, corpse hotels have opened in many cities with climate-controlled guest rooms, renting for the equivalent of about $155 a night, with viewing rooms where relatives can visit the bodies daily until cremation is available.
Oh, great. Mm. You know, we were discussing about that yesterday. Remember, Vernice?
Yeah.
About how expensive it is to
mm-hmm.
die?
Yeah.
They got to fry you. Shake and
mm-hmm.
bake, y'all.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, that's about $1,100 or $1,200, but the other way, you're looking at a good $5,000 just to start off with.
Just to start off with.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Well, they didn't already reach there all the way past $7,000.
Hot mess.
Mm-hmm.
Two other companies are suing each other in federal court in San Francisco over the copyright to their lucrative business models of creating make-believe animals, horses and rabbits, that sell very well to players who take them on as game pets for their characters or breed them to make other make-believe animals. That's just twisted.
Oh, my goodness. That is twisted.
No sooner had Anthony Swell been convicted in August of murdering 11 women in Cleveland and burying their remains around his property than entrepreneur Eric Gain of Florida had hired someone to fill sandwich bags of soil from Swell's property so that he could sell the souvenir dirt, for $25 a gram on the internet. Gein follows well-publicized salesmen who have famously collected the pubic hair of New York prostitute killer Arthur Shawcross, the crawl-space dirt from the house of John Wayne Gacy, and the fried hair of Ted Bundy that fell on the floor as he was executed.
That is so gross.
Oh, gosh. I love these people and their weird-ass things.
That is weird news.
Mm-hmm. Artificial meat grown in a test tube from animal stem cells has been theoretically planned for about 10 years, but a European Science Foundation audience in September heard predictions that lab-grown sausage might be available as soon as next year. The meat is produced in sheets and would be prohibitively expensive at first, in that the largest specimen produced so far measures only about 1 inch long and a third of an inch wide. The biggest drawback facing artificial muscle tissue that even lab-grown muscles require exercise to prevent atrophy.
You think?
That is just gross.
That is.
Vegan looks better and better to be a vegan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, get away from that meat.
Turned down once again, the liquor manufacturer EFAG convinced Germany's federal patent court in September to award trademark protection to a schnapps, with the brand name Fieken,
which in German translate directly into what in English is known as the F word. The court acknowledged that the name is unquestionably in poor taste, but it's not sexually discriminatory and does not violate public morals. In fact, the court noted the word is widely used in Germany. In March 2010, the European Union Trademark Authority granted a German brewery the right to call its beer Fucking Hell, the first word of which is the actual name of the Austrian village, and the second, a German word referring to light ale.
Yeah,
I don't know about y'all, but I'm going to
drink
ale.
Okay. That's a heck of a drink. You go inside and ask for a drink. Yeah, give me some of that effing whatchacallem.
Oh, gosh. The Department of Motor Vehicles office in Roseville, California, was closed for a week in July after a driving school student crashed into the building and left a 5-foot hole in the wall. A young man taking a test at the driver's center in Brisbane, Australia, in August lost control of his vehicle and crashed into a bench outside the building, hitting his mother who was waiting for him.
Oh, my God. Oh,
yeah.
My God.
A 56-year-old DMV.
Like, you'll never get these keys.
A 56-year-old DMV driver tester was killed in July when the woman she was evaluating ran off the road in Williamsburg, Virginia, and struck a tree.
See, that's what nerves will do for you, though. It just go crazy and just go make you go through walls and everything. See.
One would think the robber of a gas station would consider filling the tank before fleeing. However, Moses Gift, 47, was arrested in September in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and charged with robbing the Huff Shell station shortly before running out of gas a short distance away. And in Winder, Georgia, Micah Mitchell was arrested in October shortly after, according to police, he crashed through the front door of a BP station to steal merchandise. He was arrested minutes later a few miles from the station where he also ran out of gas.
Uh-oh. People. You forgot about the gas, huh?
If you're going to rob a store, people, please fill your gas
tank
up.
Fill up your gas tank. Yes.
Be prepared. You know what I mean? Have your stuff in order.
Thank you. And that's all the stories I have for News of the Weird.
And we thank you.
Thank you.
Well, at this time, we always want to give scores before we go to break and start our show. So, the ESPN, would you like me to do it or you, Chauvinet?
You want to take a break first and then we can come back to that?
And come back to the scores?
Yeah, and then get into the show.
Okay. All right, then at this time, folks, we will take a 5-minute break and we'll be right back. And hopefully we'll have a lot of callers calling in, 646-727-2914. Remember, we're talking about fathers, single fathers, and retirement. Thank you. Well, hello, everybody, and we're back. Chabonet, you want to read the Chab?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Hello?
Yes, yes, we're back. So
okay.
Would you like to read the scores? Let us know
all right.
On football today.
The NFL scores for today. The Packers beat the Vikings 33-27. The Seahawks lost 6-3. The Browns beat them.
Yeah.
Yes, the Browns beat them. Falcons beat the Lions 23-16. The Texans whipped the crap out the Titans 41-7. Broncos beat the Dolphins 18-15. The Jets beat the Chargers 27-21. The Bears beat the Buccaneers 24-18. The Panthers beat the Redskins 33-24. Mama Rollins.
Whose team is that, I wonder?
My team. I don't know. My team. I think it's my team, y'all. I'm going to own up on them. I'm a diehard Redskins.
That's right. You ride or die. The Chiefs beat the shit out the Raiders. Were y'all even there? The Raiders, 28-0.
Ooh,
I mean,
hey,
Raiders.
Did they even play? Well, Yeah.
Jason, what's up with your
there?
Boys? I mean, they had like six turnovers today. Did you want to play?
Oh,
all right, Steelers, the boy Rapenberger and the Steelers beat the Cardinals 32-20. And the Cowboys beat the Rams 34-7. Monday Night
that
Football.
That was another big game, too.
Yes, it was. Monday Night Football, the Ravens play the Jaguars on ESPN, 8:30 East Coast, 5:30 Pacific. And Sunday Night Football is the Colts versus the Saints on NBC, 8:20 Eastern, 5:20 Pacific. And, Colts, I hope y'all pull something through. Y'all 0-6. 0-6.
The Colts are? Ooh, I need to call them.
Yes.
That's bad. They haven't won a game since the season started.
No, no. 0-6. And the Saints 4-2. So kind of think I know who's going to win tonight. I'm not sure. Just want to put that out there.
That
so.
Is bad. And we have
yes,
a caller. Welcome to Talk to Me. Who's this?
This is Al.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, you're on the air with Linus. This is Talk to Me.
Hey, this is Alvin Lloyd Alexander Horn. How are you doing?
Fine, and you? Thank you for calling. We're going to be discussing fathers and single fathers. Did you call in for to get in on the conversation with us?
Yes. I'm not a single father anymore, but I raised at one time in my life for about 15 years, I was a single parent, but they're all grown now, so I've been through that as a single male. So I have a perspective on it, that's for sure.
Okay.
Now, what state are you calling from?
I'm in Seattle, Washington.
Oh, well, this is good, because then I have a question for you. Oh, I'm sorry, Mom, go ahead. I'll wait, because I'm trying to get
this subject
started.
Well, no, while we've got him on the line, we'll get back into the discussion. Go ahead, sir. Go ahead, Shaw.
Well, my question is, as being a single father, at any time did you even have the opportunity to receive child support? Did you even go after for child support as a single father?
Well, for me, this was in the 80s and 90s, coming to the late 70s. And at that time, being a single parent, I did apply for it. I went through all the channels, but the governmental situations weren't very aggressive toward women on the going the other way. And I even had a lawyer involved who said, of course, just are not going to be proactive in going after her, especially if she has financial issues. Because in some way, it was kind of like reverse discrimination, since women had normally been on the other end and had not done very well economically and had children. It was kind of felt like I was being punished for the lack of effort, when at the same time I had male friends who at the time the court system was pretty aggressive in collecting child support. So I think it was kind of a double standard at the time, and at a certain point in time I just walked away from it because it was more important for me to stay focused emotionally and raise my child.
Okay, I can understand that. Did you feel Washington State helped you at all as a single father?
No. And one of the hardest parts that for me is that being a single male, and on top of that being a black male in the workforce, and I was working for that large aerospace company, it was already tough enough being a black male in the workspace. And now I'm a single parent, and I needed to be afforded the same protections and exceptions that female workers were allowed.
True.
For instance, taking my child to the doctor, my child getting sick, having to stay home when they get a bad flu or a cold or anything of that nature, having to, I couldn't schedule the teacher-parent meeting during, you know, after-work hours. You know, and like, I always thought that, the female workers, it was never an issue. They called in sick, having to stay with their child. And I actually had some supervisors over the years tell me, can't you get some woman to take care of him? Where is his mother at? Can't you get a neighbor lady or something?
I believe
can't
that.
You get your mother to help you?
Yeah,
I, would get
I believe
kind of
that, too.
Coming
yeah.
at me.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the same time, one of my best friends who's became a single parent, too, and he started experiencing the same things, too. So it just wasn't me in my workforce. He worked someplace else. So there
mm-hmm.
was a double standard that we went through at that time period. I can't speak mm-hmm. for now, but I know mm-hmm. during that time period it was pretty prevalent.
Wow. Okay.
That's
yeah, because there... Well, because there was a study out there, actually, I have the information now, and that's why I was asking about the child support and the support from the state, because it stated, and this is from 2007, that $2.8 billion amount of child support was received by custodial fathers when they were initially due $4.3 billion. And they said it's a major contrast because custodial mothers received $18.6 billion out of $29.8 billion that they were due.
Wow.
And that's just significant to
that's
me to understand
big,
that.
That's a big difference.
That is a big difference.
And this is nationwide.
Yep,
yeah.
That's a big difference. But I will say this, and even despite I was a single father not receiving what I felt what was due to me, and I actually asked for less than the state standard, you know, because
mm-hmm.
I knew that she was economically not in that situation. We still are dealing with the fact that women have made less than men. And
that's right. We still
less.
Are.
So I understand to a point, but still, even if it's less, the percentage still should be mm-hmm. the same.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that's the part that I never could have get along with. Yes, you expect to get less, you know, but the percentage, whatever if it's 15, 20, 30% that you're taking from a man, take the
mm-hmm.
same from a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
exactly.
I understand she's making less,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, it's not a picnic either or if you're having to pay child support and you still want to, quote, unquote, live your lifestyle. You've got to give some
That's
things
right.
up.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very true.
Yes, it is. Well,
mm-hmm.
Definitely the results contradict the assumption that fathers are more successful disciplinarian than mothers. Another assumption has been related to the fact that men score higher on tests of quantitative skills, while women scored higher on tests of verbal skills, given the fact some researchers have argued that children who grew up in single-mother households won't do as well in mathematics, while those growing up in single-father households won't do as well as in English. I think these things are inconsistent with the claim that women and men facilitate unique capabilities in their children.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that too, sir?
Now, I'm probably going to get in trouble with this, but okay, when I think about one-on-one communications, how a man communicates and how a woman communicates, just the two of them back and forth, you have a dynamic that neither one's going to communicate the same way. And when I talk to my children, as opposed to when I observed, and I was a school teacher for a long time, too. So I observed women who definitely there were some who spoke in a more analytical tone with their children, but by and large, I seen more of an emotional tone
mm-hmm.
for
mm-hmm.
disciplining reasons. A father tends to be more direct and explains to a quicker point.
Mm-hmm.
Women don't tend to explain to a quicker point. Women are better negotiators.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that can backfire. when it comes to dealing with your children, because children are not to be negotiated with, and we've kind of fell into that, and we're reaping the benefits of it now. Not to say it's a woman's fault that we have bad children, but as a disciplinary, if you're going to negotiate for your child's behavior, you're going to lose that battle. Well, by and large, women tend to negotiate because they are better negotiators than men, period. But on the other end, if you want discipline, you want order, you know, there's the other side where men tend to be better at it from where I'm standing from.
Okay.
Well, by the same token, sir, what you were saying, too, that at that particular time, the society did not see women as being straightforward and direct. They saw them as kind of being indirect. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Not really getting their point across.
Well, you know, for a time period, my mother was a single parent with me. Okay. My mother didn't mix words. Okay. There was no emotional pleas from her. So we can't put everybody into that category. My mother was very direct. You knew what she meant. And she wasn't going to spend all day explaining to you. She expected you to use your intelligence to figure it out. I'm a better man for it. I'm just saying on the larger scale, I tend to think that often women use more emotional pleas with their children than men will. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's wrong or that it's not going to be successful. That's just different.
Do you also find that the difference varies, too, because of the background characteristics or income, education, occupations, you know?
Well, if you take for the fact, going back to economics, if a woman is having to work harder, number one, she's probably working more hours, too. She's probably away from her children in an inconvenient way for her. Could she be more tired than maybe so a man? As a single parent, I don't think that I worked any harder or any less than a woman. If a woman economically is making less, that means she's probably under more stress. So that's going to affect other parts of your life. Now, I know as a single parent, I didn't always make a lot of money, and I had, you know, my obligations. And, yeah, it was tough. So I can only imagine wholesale. Since there are more single women as parents, then, yeah, it's probably was pretty tough on a lot of women to be successful and have, you know, the strength and the fortitude. A lot of times that gets torn out. We all get weak. And it probably if you're raising a child, you know, you don't really have any time off, so to speak.
Do you think parents with a higher socioeconomic status are better positioned to have a positive family environment?
My personal experience is I worked in majority white school districts with upper incomes. And, you know, just because you don't see the news reports on the television, they have dysfunction going on in June Cleaver's house, okay? They got drugs, they got alcohol, they got abuse on the same level as any other economic, social, racial backgrounds. They still have the same issues. I've had to go into the homes as a ride-along, associate with police into these neighborhoods. When the husband works at a Microsoft and the wife is at home, you know, drinking all day. And then he comes home, he pops a few off too, and the kids are the byproduct of this situation of dysfunction. They have the same issues. We just don't see them on the news. And we never will, because the news people live in those neighborhoods, just like the police live in those neighborhoods, so they don't want that broadcast. Take, for instance, when you turn on the TV show, we used to say Cops was the show that nobody, because we used to see us. Now you can turn on 48 Hours or whatever the show is about catching someone every day. You're not going to ever see the higher economics the struggles that those children go through because the police and the city councilmen and so forth live in those neighborhoods. They're not going to want the police coming into their neighborhoods broadcasting the dysfunction that goes on. So you never see that part.
Right.
They have
right.
the same. They have the same issues, and we know mm-hmm. as far as our children, when they get caught shoplifting as opposed to a white child, and then it escalates into drugs and everything else. You already know the outcome. It's no mystery
right.
that who's going to serve more time.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a single parent and your child ends up in the criminal justice system versus a mm-hmm. white parent from an influential area, what
mm-hmm.
you already know the outcome of that.
That's right.
Your legal representation. So it looks like that we don't care as much. We have less resources.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're making less, okay,
mm-hmm.
and that's a whole new ballgame about how come and what have you, but if we're making less, how can you afford the legal protections that someone that lives in a richer neighborhood? So
that's
all
right.
So that filters down into your children, how they're being
mm-hmm.
taken care of, you
mm-hmm.
know, who's looking after them. You know,
mm-hmm.
what about the daycare? You know, I
mm-hmm.
mean, all those things come into play.
Mm-hmm.
For me, a lot of times, a lot of us were raised, you know, I'm in my mid-50s, a lot of our mothers were home or worked
mm-hmm.
from home.
Mm-hmm.
So we still had that parent. Well, that's not true nowadays. Both parents
nope.
are outside the house working.
That's
well,
right.
who does
that's
that
right.
affect more in the inner city areas where there's less daycare, less after-school programs, and all
mm-hmm.
these things are funded that are in the suburban areas where there's
mm-hmm.
plenty of YMCA, come pick you up the bus type situations. So
okay.
we get the short end of the stick, and it looks
mm-hmm.
like we're not effective parents. We're,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're stressing harder than anyone else. So
mm-hmm.
when we get the job done, we're actually the superheroes that they paint pictures of because
mm-hmm.
we have to go harder and jump higher
mm-hmm.
to make it work.
And then they asked you, well, how did you do it?
Yeah.
That's our famous question. Well,
famous
how did
question,
you do
how
it?
Did you do it? Yeah, famous question.
Because they
did you
didn't
do it?
See how we were, it was done. They were always, like you said, up in the upper income area. So I can understand that. And then when they come down and they see kids from the inner cities, some of them are making it. That's the first question they ask them. Well, how did you do it?
Well, my question then is to you as a father, when you have, when your children come from a single parent home and your kids ask questions about, well, why does my friend have mommy? Why don't I have a mommy? You know, how do you
mm-hmm.
explain that to your children? How do you show them that we're going to be okay because I got this? I'm holding it down for all of us.
I can't speak on a larger scale with me
mm-hmm.
and my son.
Mm-hmm.
He knew his mother's issues.
Okay.
And they were pretty out there. And
mm-hmm.
at the same time, I end up being a single parent to a nephew and a niece. So I actually had three for long periods of a time. And they also knew why they were with me. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're looking at the situation from birth, I think it might be a more of a struggle. You know, how come I don't have a mother? But on that same scale, I like to think that often both parents were around at some time, I've noticed, and for at least minorities, they tend to have been around at some point in time. So they know where that parent is at. Not saying
mm-hmm.
that makes it easier. It actually probably makes it harder because how come they're not here now? Why did they
mm-hmm.
leave?
Yeah.
You know, kids,
yeah,
because
they know that the parent
them.
Is there, but
mm-hmm.
it's just
there's
not
no
in the house with them.
There's no interaction.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did you find it harder? Now, see, I have to ask this because I'm a female and I see the difference between my parents, and I'm blessed because my parents are the best of friends, divorced, but the best of friends, and I see the difference
mm-hmm.
of their parenting between mother and father. Now, hearing that you said you were raising two boys and the female, is it harder when you were raising your niece than it is to raise your son and your nephew as a father and a father figure?
No, I didn't find it difficult, and she was, you know, a couple of years younger than both the boys, and so they were very protective and there to help me, and you know, and definitely.
And that's
got,
a good
they,
thing. That's a good
you know,
plus on your part.
And they got read the Riot Act. You
mm-hmm.
are the protector. You know, I can't be here all the time. This is your responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily saying that's fair, but that's what I had to do.
Right.
As
it's what
far,
you
as
had
far
to
as,
do.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, say it again.
That's what I had to do. And some people might say it's unfair that they got put in that responsibility. But I also think, and particularly in black families, the oldest gets the responsibility anyway. I braided hair of my sister's hair. I think that's one of the dynamics of the black family is that, hey, you know, next in line in the pecking order is going to take care of some business here. Often as I was raised, you know, when my parents walked out the door, don't let nothing happen, okay? Mm-hmm. That meant that my brother and sisters, I'm in charge.
Right.
Yeah.
So, of course, you know,
how do you feel
go ahead.
I just have a question. How do you feel today about men stepping up as fathers? Do you feel more men are stepping up or less? And the ones that are stepping up, do you feel like they're doing what they should be doing to be a good example to their kids?
I think there's more men who are stepping up. I think more men are feeling not pressure as they used to. And so I think there's a lessening of tension between the man and woman. I think women are also now opening the door and saying, wait a minute, maybe my mother talked about my dad like a dog and made it hard. But I'm also seeing women saying, hey, whatever participation I can get from him, I'll take. I don't need to be warm. I don't want my children to see this. I think I see a changing of the guard of that attitude, and men are now starting to say, hey, let me get involved, and it's easier for me now to be involved as opposed to it was maybe, you know, 20 years ago and prior.
And do you think that was because of society or environmental influences that decreed that a few years ago compared to now in 2011?
Definitely. I think society is saying, you know, on both ends, hey, you need to be involved. I think there's more of a stigma that sticks now if you got a child, you're not involved as a man. I think it really sticks out that, wait a minute, I better get involved in this. I'm looking pretty shady, which doesn't necessarily mean I'm doing the right thing for the right thing. I'm doing it. And on the other end, I think women are also saying, I don't want to be adversarial with my child's father, too, as much as it was be. I think they're seeing it doesn't do them any good.
It doesn't. You know, it really doesn't.
So I think at one time there was a strong let's fight to prove who's right. And I think that is starting to dissipate a little bit. But, ladies, I'm going to have to let you go because I'm supposed to be performing here at Town Hall here in a little bit here. And I was just listening while I was sitting downtown here in Seattle, and the subject came across my Facebook page, and I said, well, I've been there, so I want to give you what my perspective was.
Thank you very much.
We really appreciate it.
Have a great show.
Yes.
Right. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, we're wishing you the best as well.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir, for calling in.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so we've got just enough time to hit retirement just a little bit.
Okay.
So let me run through now. Are you retired? How are your finances? Is everything in order for your family if something should happen? Are you working again to supplement your retirement? Will you retire at what age? Do you have adequate health care for retirement? Okay, these are some of the questions. And I was speaking with my co-host earlier because I was saying people are going out on medical retirement, mental laid off, and then there's also forced retirement. You know, so these are things we're talking. And the number one thing I want to say this about retirement, please, please, please have a and B plan in order prior to retiring. Because just retiring and now what? You're sitting at home with time on your hands. So have something planned. Some people, the retirement money is not enough. They look for second jobs. That's something to thinking about, too, because at your age, whether you're 55 or 65, are you still employable?
We are definitely still employable, but it's the problem of will the workforce hire people?
That
are retired.
That's going to be the hard part because they know that they're already at post-retirement age but not their age, they're not old enough to receive their retirement.
Right.
So they're forced to use their retirement that they've already got saved up for the retirement early. Therefore, it sets them back.
And,
yeah.
you know, that's a thing to talk about, too. What about now? We just got off talking with the gentleman about fathers, but people that have retirement, whether it's a couple still together or, you know, they're
mm-hmm.
single,
mm-hmm.
and end up having to raise grandkids.
Yes.
Now you've got to use the retirement money that you put back
mm-hmm.
to last
for yourself.
For yourself
yeah.
to,
mm-hmm.
you know, help these children.
That's
and
right.
that's a very important issue right now because for baby boomers, it's a lot of baby boomer people out there now that are raising their grandchildren.
That's right.
Yeah, that's very
and
true.
Using their retirement.
So their retirement is done. they can't
basically.
They can't retire. They can't rest, you know.
No. No. And then also, you remember, Bernice, we were talking about forced retirement.
Yeah.
What if you've been on a job, you're not thinking about retiring until 62 or 65, but here you are 55, 56 years old. You've been on a job 15 or 18 years. You got laid off. Now you're forced to retire.
You're
what do
forced
you do
to
now?
Retire. That's right.
Yeah.
And so if you haven't got enough money saved up and you have to use it before you're able to apply for retirement,
yeah.
you are screwed.
Yeah,
yeah,
you are.
And they think that yeah. there's a lot of people walking out here, you know, homeless. Just give them a couple of more years. There's going to be a hell of a lot more that's going to be out there.
Yep.
Yeah.
I was just listening.
And they're not ready for that. They're not ready for it.
I was just listening to a lady the other day on the radio, and her husband are in their 70s and
mm-hmm.
have been retired.
Yes.
And because of the housing boom, they're about to lose their house.
Yes.
Now, their kids are way grown, and she said they're not even capable of going to their children
they're
and
not.
Living with them because their children are also having a hard economical
exactly.
time.
Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yes, and she's saying that, hey, you might see me and my husband out on the street and on a bicycle
mm-hmm.
under
it's
a
scary.
Bridge.
It's
and
scary.
And that was really sad to hear that.
Mm-hmm. It was really scary.
You know.
They hit everybody. They hit everybody to the point where nobody can help nobody.
No. Oh, mm-hmm. let me say this too right quick, y'all. For the people in Turkey because of that bad, bad earthquake, let me say that from the show, Talk to Me, all of us, we send our prayers
yes.
and love
yes.
out to you. And
mm-hmm.
God be with you folks. Oh, my God, that was horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Just hold on to God's word and walk by faith, not by sight, that eventually you'll get with your loved ones, find out the missing or whatever, or get the care that you need to
mm-hmm.
Make it through this as well.
Yeah. Amen.
So, anyway, okay, so getting back, yeah, to the retirement. So
it is getting scary out there. Right?
Yeah, it is. And, you mm-hmm. know, some suggestions, people need to think about new careers. Now, for the age, I would think like healthcare worker maybe seasonal work, some places where, you know, people can work part-time. Also, customer service representative.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of companies, they'll help that. If you can talk a good game. You know, that's
yeah.
something to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Nursing.
And people are not looking for to be what you call volunteer. Volunteer is out the window, folks. You know, we
yeah.
are looking for some pay.
Yep, they are. That's for sure. But these are things that they can think about, too, you know. Working at a nursing home, maybe assisting there. I don't know, as an aide or a feeding assistant or something.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
These are not well-paying, I mean, they're not no big-time paying jobs, but they are jobs that you can at least supplement your income
mm-hmm.
or maybe at
mm-hmm.
least get you to point A or point B.
Point
right.
B.
Because also you're medical, too. And I want to throw this out here for all the people that are retiring. I know you've heard about COBRA, and
mm-hmm.
I think in other places it's Kaiser and something else.
Mm-hmm.
I want to tell you, it's extremely high.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care how much you're getting on a retirement check. It's extremely high.
Yep.
About a year ago, Bernice and I did a show on health care,
mm-hmm.
and health care can start at like $269 and go up.
Mm-hmm.
But the lower your premium, what we found out is the higher your deductible.
Yep.
And your deductible can range from $1,000 to $2,000 before they will begin to start paying for your medical bill or your I want to say your hospital bill,
your
whatever
prescriptions
it may be.
And stuff.
And prescriptions
mm-hmm.
as well, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So please think about that prior to retiring, or if you had no choice and because of different scenarios you've had to retire, please think about your health care, because
mm-hmm.
it is most important. And
it
I believe
is.
Some of the hospitals, and I would advise you to check in your area, may offer some assistance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how much, I don't know. That would be up to your community, your states and cities. But
mm-hmm.
Do check into that. Also, another thing for retirement, some people retire and they lived for a month or two and boop, they're gone.
Yeah.
So another thing I want to tell you, if you're in retired, be sure and let, if not, if you don't have children, then either a best friend or a close relative, give them your information as far as your bank accounts, your life insurance or health insurance. If you're online, you're on the social network, your passwords or whatever, because if something happens, these are items that these people will need to succeed to better for you once, you know, that time has come.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very important, even if you don't pass, maybe you just get real sick,
mm-hmm.
you know. Your loved ones, your family, or either your friends, somebody close to you needs to have this information. So my suggestion is write all this out, give it to someone, maybe take it to the bank, put it in a bank vault or whatever, but do have it, because that is really important, because some people are retired and it's just, hey, next thing you know, they're either deathly sick or they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
And people have to have the information in order to help you after the fact. So
mm-hmm.
just keep that in mind. That is important. Was there anything else, Vernice, that you wanted to add to it?
No, I didn't have anything else. I think you just about covered everything I found.
Okay, well, mm-hmm. before I forget, I do want to give a shout-out. We have birthdays. Ren's birthday is coming up. Happy birthday to you, Ren.
Happy birthday, Ren.
Happy birthday, big bride.
Melissa, she's my the company that does my website. Nola in California, happy birthday, Nola.
Oh,
her son,
happy birthday.
Tyler. Yes, and happy birthday to Tyler, her son. So we just want to get those birthdays out there. And next week is the Halloween show. If you got scary things that have happened to you, or you've seen ghosts or spots or whatever, call in. We're just going to have fun, fun, fun. So I want to thank the gentleman that called in. There you go, there you go. Hope everybody got some good Halloween costumes. So anyway, I want to thank Vernice for
You're welcome.
And our producer and switchboard operator.
Hey, have a good night, ladies and gentlemen.
For y'all, you hear?
I got it bad, y'all. I got it bad. You see, she still got me working, y'all, and I got bronchitis. She still got me working.
You know what? Got to be there.
Yeah, that's right.
So anyway, I want to thank everybody today for the people that were listening that didn't get an opportunity to call in. Thank you for listening to the show, and we do hope that it helped you along the way. As I said, we'll look forward to next Sunday to have a lot of fun. So take care and good night. And we are off.